Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network.
I'm ready to blow it just one more sound.
Brain Injury Radio and Radio Ability are sponsored by the TBI Network.
Find them on facebook.com/TBI Network or at tbisn.org.
Brain Injury Radio is on 7 nights a week, and now, for tonight's episode of Brain Injury Radio.
Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Welcome to the show. This is Kim Justice. I'm your regular Wednesday night host with Recovery Now, and on the last Wednesday of every month, I'm honored to have my co-host, Simon Lewis, who I'm going to bring on in just a moment, and we call this segment Simon Says. So we're going to have a discussion about something tonight, and I'll let you know what that is. That's what we do each last Wednesday of the month, is pick out a topic of relevance slash interest and speak about that. And so if you want to know more about Simon, you can check out his website at Simon Lewis, that's LEWIS, simonlewis.us, or riseandshinethebook.com. And for me, if you want to know more about me, check out my website, inaflash.org. For those of you who are new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a We Recovery program because it is in the We that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers, and for that, it takes a good bit of warrior. I think I will say what I've been saying the last few weeks. Brain Injury Radio has never asked for donations. We don't do that. Craig doesn't do that. But what I've been doing the last couple weeks, if you heard that intro, and I have my own intro on other weeks, but on co-host nights, I play our generic intro, and the background music is a song called Words and the Impact of Words on People. And that's by a band that the founder of this network and TBI Survivor Network, also the founder of a band. It has gone by a couple different names, but V-T-H-E-E, the letter R, insane.com. VRinsane.com. There's a lot, and if you listen through and find some things you like, that just goes to help defray some of our expenses. And if you cared to make any kind of a donation, of course it's tax deductible, and you can find Craig or I and do so. He still wouldn't be asking, and I'm only mentioning it because the band, you know, artists and authors don't make their living unless they're in the 1%, I guess. And he was under label for a long time, so a very accomplished musician. And, you know, but when I was coming up, we had to buy the whole album and we only liked, you know, like our two favorite songs, but we had to buy the whole album, and I think they were up to 12 or 13 bucks when it went to whatever the next thing was. Nowadays, you go to iTunes or Amazon Music or Spotify, and a song is $1.69, and the artist makes 60% of that, and the company provider makes 40% of that. So, you know, I don't know, I wasn't good at math before my brain injury, but, you know, if you make 40 cents or whatever it is, that's a lot of 40 cents day in, day out, month in, month out, to keep a roof over your head. And so touring is how bands make their money, is by being on tour. And the last 2 years, of course, with the virus, they've not been able to tour. And so I just told him, in spite of what our protocol has been to not ask, that I was going to mention it from time to time, because it does make a big difference. A lot of people have been impacted in their careers or lack thereof with this pandemic over the last 2 years, haven't been able to do the same thing. I've done what my husband's doing, working from home, a lot of adjustments to be made. And in a lot of cases, like with musicians and a lot of people who are on tour talking about their books and various things, they've had to do that on Zoom. And, you know, some things have just really changed. So I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, there's some great music there, and I might play one of my favorite songs on our way out. Also have a lot of other indie artists that I support by playing their music on here, and I encourage you, because music is therapeutic, and Simon and I are going to be talking about stress tonight. One of the things that can really help you or rev you up worse is your choice of music. And if there's music that you like, regardless of what type of music it is, that you find relaxing, you know, you don't want to listen when you're depressed to cry in your beer, my dog died and my partner left kind of music, that just feeds the beast, you know. But if there's music that you find calming and that conjures visions of pleasure, listening to music, you know, I used to constantly when I was younger, and when I got older, I don't know where the music went. With away with the smiles, I guess, for a little while through the adjustment, like everybody else. It's been very stressful the last couple of years. We've all been through a lot more stress than we bargained for the past 2 years. Between politics and the virus, no matter what side of the fence you're on either of those topics, there's been a prolonged, stressful undercurrent because of those couple of things, along with our other personal stressful issues that have come up. This layering effect of stress has caused increased mental health issues for many people, physical health issues that hadn't manifested before, and generally compounded anything going on in our lives that we've deemed to cause stress. Needless to say, relentless stress is not a good thing. We can't change external circumstances, but as the new year has rolled in, perhaps we can orchestrate a new beginning, which isn't going to change our reality, but perhaps our perception of it, and reduce some of that stress in our life. Because as sure as COVID's a killer, stress is a killer as well, which we'll be talking a little bit about. I'm going to say one public service announcement, and then I'm going to bring on Simon. And I want to thank, let's see, what show each month, one Thursday a month, our great host called me yesterday with the fact that we should remind people right now about the 4 free COVID tests that you can get from the government. And those websites I talked about earlier, Mind Simons and right now this one, for the people who look at my program notes and are regulars, you know that I always put relevant websites that I talk about in my program notes. So if you go to the shows at braininjuryradio.com, if you're not by a pen, or to my website in aflash.org under the show tab, you'll click on a link and within the program notes are these websites. But the website to get those four free COVID tests from the government is covidtests.gov. It's super easy to sign up, real short, only takes a couple of seconds, and they're going to come to you through the U.S. Postal Service. And I would encourage you to write for yours. You know, when the government's giving away something for free, I encourage you to take it because in truth, you've paid for it about 1,000 times over. And if you've tried to get a home health COVID test kit, I just tore my show notes in half. I better bring Simon on. In any case, if you've tried to get a home test kit, you will see that they're next to impossible to get. And they're anywhere between $25 and $40, depending on how much the drugstore may be wanting to gouge you. I've seen the exact test, and I'm going to bring Simon on right now, but the exact test that I paid $25 for, I've paid $40 for. So at this point, we have a couple in the house because you've all seen the lines of people. And here in Middle America, it's cold. You know, the new year roared in very, very cold. We've had feels like minus 15, feels like minus 2. And nobody would want to sit in their car for 2 or 3 hours anyway to get a COVID test, especially if they didn't feel good. But that's the situation we're looking at around the country, or it's next to impossible to get a test. So anyway, just a quick reminder, covidtests.gov. Go there, sign up, get your four tests. The pandemic will probably be over by the time that you receive it, but try it. Simon, welcome to the show tonight. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, Kim, I'm so pleased to be with you and with the audience. And I have a small apology. If I sound different, it's because of what can only be described as technical hitches. So, Kim, if you find I've done the best I can. I've actually dialed in this evening on a regular phone line. Can you hear me all right, Kim?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
and lots of people do.
This is great news. The great thing about being, as you know, regular listeners, I worked in the film business before my massive brain injury, and I am flexible, so I have different pieces of equipment, and I have a brand spanking new computer, and it constantly resets all the audio settings, and I don't seem to be able to use my regular headset. So I have my backup, which is a dear old inexpensive headset, plugged into a regular phone line, and I do encourage people this evening especially to call in on that line, because I simply called in on the same phone line that Kim provides for people to call in. A couple of thoughts to start the evening. First of all, it's a delight to be with you. The next thing is I just wanted to talk a little bit about what you said, great about the COVID tests. Yes, it's a slow start. And also they're giving out, a couple of hundred million free masks, which is excellent. The great thing about this country, which I came to as a teenager, is that when the manufacturing capacity of the United States is brought to bear on any problem, there's really no other country in the world that equals what the United States can do. I'm sure that there'll be listeners in China who will be saying, no, China can really do wonders. But when it turned out that there's 200 million masks in the strategic stockpile reserves, that's or something like that. I haven't researched that aspect of this show for this evening, but that is pretty remarkable to have 200 million or 150 million of them. And to harness the U.S. Postal Service, which is an extraordinary institution, I know it's been criticized a lot, and in my view a little unfairly, very unfairly, because the United States Postal Service is an entity that goes past the front door of every home that's habited pretty much. Obviously, there are some exceptions every day, every weekday, I should say, and Saturday. So this extraordinary entity that has that capacity, coupled with the manufacturing capacity of the United States, after a very slow start, it's arriving, and I think this is just the first installment. And Kim, I think it's wonderful that Brain Injury Radio is encouraging people. As regular listeners know, I live with my parents, and my father immediately has applied for his four. We're in Los Angeles and hasn't yet arrived yet. And it is a small start because for families and people who still are going out to work, if you have a couple of kids and you're going out to work, you really need a lot more than four. But it is the start. And once they primed the pump, a film producer part of me thinks, well, they're priming the pump. They're working out the kinks in the supply. And once they work out the kinks, then it wouldn't surprise me if very significantly greater numbers start to come through. And the other things you said, Kim, beautiful introductory comments. We're going to talk a lot about stress this evening and sustained stress. And the more I researched that and thought about it and applied it to the situation that we face going into a third year of a pandemic, and the more I think of things like, yes, music as a source of comfort, because one of the things that we're going to, I think, talk about a little this evening, which is something that perhaps links with a lot of the experiences of a lot of people in the brain-injured community, is the difficulty of connection versus isolation. And the effect of sustained stress linked with isolation. The famous philosopher, I could look him up, who said that most of the causes of ill in mankind, this is in the time when everybody talked about mankind rather than humanity, but essentially was it's the inability of a person to sit alone in a room for an hour. That thing where you give a child a time out, it is terribly hard on children and adults alike to become isolated. And that is, I think, a significant part of the issues that are being created for stress with the pandemic. And not just the isolation of being alone, but the isolation of being in the company of people who normally you would be fine with, but it's difficult to be with all day, every day, week after week, month after month, for 2 years. It would not surprise me, this is speculation, that after the pandemic has gone its way, that we will learn about a new term of pandemic divorce, because this must have placed tremendous strains on married couples who were, especially married couples with two jobs, where they're in love, they go to work, the kids are driving them crazy, the kids have busy lives, the refrigerator is stacked with magnets on the front keeping track of the kids' schedules, and both parents, or sometimes more than two parents, are busy with their business lives. And when all of that stops, there are probably quite a lot of people who find that with the kids at home, and the spouse at home permanently, in the best will in the world, there are probably people who feel like they want to shoot themselves. So it's difficult. Now, I'm very blessed because my relationship it's a strange kind of blessing. Mm-hmm. As regular listeners know, she lives in a different town, and I haven't seen her for 2 years, so we talk regularly on the phone. I mean, almost every day, not the nights that I'm doing a podcast, but that has completely prevented the situation of being trapped in a living space with one other person day in, day out, month in, month out. So coming back to your comment, mm-hmm. Kim, about music and the founder of Brain Injury Radio and his music, which is quite wonderful. Yes, music is an enormous source of relief, because when you listen to music, you also feel like you're in the company of the musicians and the artist. When you watch a film, you feel like you're in the company of the actors and the writer and the director. And if it's an MGM film, the Roaring Lion at the beginning, there's a sense of connection, which I hope might help people. And Kim, you're beautiful to say what you did about the struggles that artists face, because
yes,
many are trapped. Many have been cut off from their regular source of income. Streaming has mm-hmm. caused a great dislocation. It's fine if you're the studio or you're the streamer and you're distributing something to 15 or 20 million people. The big streamers are spending multiple billions of dollars each year on what they call content, on the programming. From memory, I think Netflix said that in 12 months they're going to be spending $16 billion on their programming. So artists of a certain kind are actually quite busy. But outside of that blessed spotlight where the Netflix acquisition spotlight shines on artists and says, yes, we're going to do a Netflix show for you, that obviously leads to preference for established artists. But the new voices, the independent voices, and of course the COVID aspect is another whole layer of challenge. So yes, support independent musicians.
Yeah, just
support independent artists. And the yeah. Are Insane, I have to say, I think it is a very memorable group name, and I
yeah.
heartily recommend people buy that. And also, as I'm an author, I don't know if this is true of other authors, but a nice thing is if you buy a book, one of the first interviews I gave was Connie Martinson on books, and she would always, she's retired now, she may have actually passed, I think, but she would always say, support your library, support your local bookstore. And
mm-hmm.
The pandemic raises a question whether it's safe to go to a bookstore, whether it's safe to go to a library. But the nice thing if you buy a book is you've got something that you can open and read for an extended period of time. And you are actually helping that author. Whereas a musician, as you were saying, Kim, might receive a royalty of a few pennies when one listens to, say, Spotify or is it Rhapsody? I always never remember the name. But I've got
Most of the indie artists and the others sell them on iTunes and Amazon and
right.
and Spotify, and there's a couple of those, but. Yeah, you know, even part of Broadway closed down, so live performing artists and indie musicians and, you know, people like that who've needed to be in person, you know, have been out of the mainstream for a couple of years. So it's a nice gesture. Because, like I said, it takes a lot of 40 senses to, you know, Amazon and all those places you mentioned, they're not tied on money because, as you mentioned, they're 40% of billions of songs. Ain't breaking them, but each one of those individual artists, you know, getting their 60% of a song that's $1.69 and not being able to tour or feeling the pain. But anyway, just an idea and a reminder about the free test, because, you know, I won't dwell on COVID tonight. I know we've talked about it a lot. I am worried about my other co-host from 2 weeks ago, Karen. She's on the second Wednesday of every month, excuse me. That night she was sick, and she said she had her whole family, her couple sons, and she and her husband were not feeling well, and they had gone to get a COVID test. And we did our show, and it was a really good show on Brain Basics 2 weeks ago. If you want to do a little, it was, you know, first of the year, beginning of the new year. So we thought we'd start with basics and talk about parts of the brain and what they do a little bit. And we had a really good informative show. And I got a text probably half hour after the show that they had gotten results back and they were all positive.
And oh, no.
I haven't been able to connect with her, and I've been trying. I know that she got a treatment. I won't go into her personal stuff, but except that I'm concerned because I haven't been able to reach her. And, you know, sometimes people text you back right away and sometimes they don't. But in a case like this where she knows that I know, you know, that her health is challenged with a lot of underlying conditions and that she had one of the only therapeutics there is for this. And I haven't heard back from her. So my thoughts and prayers and hopefully yours up for Karen that she's going to be getting well and that I'll hear from her soon. So, you know, concerned about that. But going back to stress, I learned a word that I didn't know. And I'm going to just, because I brought up the parts of the brain, I'm going to give you one sentence. But I was doing a little homework today, and Simon will spend more time talking to you probably tonight, and I'll just be responding to him. But I'm going to start out with a little kind of intro. And these sources, I actually, both off the, trying to find here where I wrote down three different sources. Oh, the NIH and a place called ScienceDirect.com in Highland Springs Clinic. I looked at a number of different places because it's funny. You start looking at one thing. Maybe you just want to look up the definition of stress. And I, you know, last week, those of you who were here know that my guest last week survived the bombing at the Boston Marathon, and she suffered great trauma and injury from that incident. And